in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. We honor you. We reference your presence. Thank you, Father. We declare that our eyes and ears are open. We declare that the eyes of our understanding is enlightened. We declare that our eyes are seeing eyes. Our ears are hearing ears. Our hearts are wise and understanding heart. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the ministry of angels. Thank you for transformation. Thank you for healing, deliverance, workings of miracles by the word and spirit of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, oh you people. Clap your hands, oh you people. Clap your hands, oh you people. Come on, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, shout glory. Hallelujah. You might be seated in heavenly places. Just help me welcome your neighbor to your right and to your left. Say welcome to this bloody service. Yes, it is Children of the Covenant that is our apostolic, April apostolic teaching series. This is it, 3 Sundays, is going to be bloody. Tell your neighbor it will be bloody. 3 bloody Sundays. You know, life is a bloody affair. I say life is a bloody affair. Blood is involved. Hallelujah. Children of the Covenant. And you don't talk about covenants without blood sacrifice. Acts chapter 3 verse 21. Acts chapter 3 verse 21. Children of the Covenant. Glory to God. I'm telling you, this series is going to revolutionize your life and destiny. Pay rapt attention. Acts chapter 3 verse 25. It say ye. Somebody say ye. It's King James. Oh. King James version. That word ye means you. Ye or you are the children of the prophets. That is a message for another day. And then, and of the covenant. Ye are children of the prophets. That is one thing on its own. Then, ye are children of the covenant. That is another thing on its own. And the two are related. But this series, we are looking at the second part. The children of the covenant. Hallelujah. We are covenant people. I say we are covenant people. We are blood covenant people. Glory to God. You are children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers. Glory to God. Come on, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Can you shout amen? That word children of the covenant also means products of the covenant. It also means the results of the covenant. It also means the fruit of the covenant. Am I communicating? We are the children of the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, which was finally and fully fulfilled in the New Testament in Christ. Glory to God. I say glory to God. We are the byproduct. We are the results. We are the fruit of the Abrahamic covenant, which was fulfilled in Christ. Glory to God. We are the children of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all. Now notice that word seed is not plural, it is singular. So now there is the seed of Abraham, the natural seed of Abraham. Then there is the spiritual seed of Abraham. The natural seed of Abraham is who was it? Isaac, that gave birth to the Jewish nation, right? So maybe let me write on the board. When we talk about the seed of Abraham, they are in two dimensions. Seed of Abraham is singular, not plural. Say, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So it's a covenant of blessing, right? I say it's a covenant of blessing. So there is a natural seed of Abraham. The natural seed refers to Isaac, okay, who gave birth to the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel, right? Then there is a spiritual, which is actually the real seed of Abraham, the spiritual. You see, the natural seed was just a type and a shadow. The natural seed of Abraham, Isaac, was just a typology, a type and a shadow of the real substance, which is the spiritual seed. The spiritual seed of Abraham is Christ. Glory to God. I will show you in a bit. Is Christ. And Christ is talking about Jesus, who is the head, and then his body, which is the church. Praise God. Christ has a head called Jesus. Christ has a body called the church. When they say Jesus Christ, Christ is not Jesus' son name. Just like it says, steadfast, aguru. Senem kubeli. Jesus Christ. No, be so. Just imagine Jesus was in school. Say, even if Jesus had gone to school, you know, Jesus didn't go to secular school. He was a carpenter. He learned his father's trade. Praise God. His father Joseph was a carpenter. His supposed father. No, Jesus suffered a lot of discrimination growing up. They were calling him son of a bastard because they were not sure of who his real father was. Praise God. Just imagine Jesus was in primary school. They are taking attendance. Jesus Joseph, present, sir. Even if he was to have a surname, it would have been Jesus Joseph. So when they say Jesus Christ, that Christ there is not his son name. Christ is a Greek word, Christos. It means the anointed one and his anointing. Is the Messiah. Am I communicating? He's talking of his messianic office. Glory to God. And Christ, Jesus was never the Christ until he was baptized at River Jordan, and the Holy Ghost descended upon him like a dove and anointed him. Am I communicating? It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit that made him the Christ. And that Christ has a head called Jesus. Christ has a body called the church. Glory to God. Now, help me with Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, 15, 15. Let me pick it from 15. Galatians 3, 15. Let me show you something. He said, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth. Or added, okay, give me New King James so that it will make the English come out better. A modern day English, right? He said, brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Glory to God. 16. Now to Abraham. Now listen carefully. He's talking of the Abrahamic covenant. Now to Abraham and his seed. Apostle Paul explaining here. And his seed were the promises made. God made that covenant promise of blessing to who? Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say unto seeds, that's plural, as of many. He said, but as of one, and to your seed. And that seed is who? Who is Christ? Can you see? So when they say, and to Abraham was his seed, where the covenant of promise made, is not referring to Isaac. Isaac was only a type and a shadow of the real thing. It's not the natural seed. Even though the natural seed too is blessed, but that's not the main one. Apostle Paul said he's talking about Christ. Christ is the real seed of Abraham. Christ is the spiritual seed of Abraham. Am I communicating? And that is where you come in, because you are a member of the body of Christ. So he's talking about you. Am I communicating? Jesus is the head of that body called Christ. And we are members of his flesh and of his bones. Am I communicating? We are part of Christ. We are part of his body. He said, ye are the members of Christ. Ye are the body of Christ, members in particular. Glory to God. So, I'm trying to explain something concerning the Abrahamic covenant. It is to Abraham and his seed. Glory to God. Now go back to Acts chapter 3, verse 25. It says, ye, because we are laying foundation today so that you get a very good understanding of that concept, children of the covenant. It says, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall what? All the kindreds or nations or families of the earth be blessed. Glory to God. Ask yourself, where in the Bible did God make this promise of blessing to Abraham? Genesis chapter 12. Let's start from verse 1. We'll read 1 to 3. That's where that word, that this was quoted, okay? From Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, actually, but let me start from verse 1. It said, now the Lord hath said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Glory to God. He received a divine instruction. And then verse 2. And I will what? I will make of thee a great nation. God started telling Abraham some of the terms of the covenant, some of the things, benefits he's going to enjoy. Even though it was in Genesis 15, we'll read it later. That was where Abraham actually cut the covenant with God. Am I communicating? And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Hallelujah. Can you see the juicy offers that come with it? He said, I will make thy name great, thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Can you see that phrase now? Can you shout amen?
Amen.
You now see where that phrase came from. And in thee shall all the family. So it's a covenant of blessings. It's a covenant of favor. Okay, give me verse 2 in Amplified. We'll read to 3. Verse 2 and 3 in Amplified. Watch this. It says, and I will make of you a great nation. Hey, nations are coming out of us. So. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. And this is our month of favor. Can you shout amen? He says, and make your name famous. And make your name famous. So it gives you fame, influence, visibility. And he says, and distinguished. And you will be a blessing. In parentheses, dispensing good to others. Tell your neighbor, that's my realm. That's my realm. That's my realm. Oh, yes. As a seed of Abraham, don't just live for I, me, and myself. Don't live a selfish, small life. A life lived for only self is a life lived for small. It's a tiny, small life. Think in terms of being a global blessing. Think in terms of feeding nations. It says you will be dispensing good to others. Then verse 3, and I will bless those who bless you. That means who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and curse him who curses or uses insolent language towards you. And in you will all the families and the kindreds of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, give me Galatians 3 verse 6. We'll read Galatians 3 6. Glory to God. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. We are building. Glory to God. We are going somewhere. It says, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Next verse. It says, therefore know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. Verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles by faith. And the scripture foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall what? Be blessed. You see that phrase again. He said, in you shall what? All the nations be blessed. Initially, he said, in your seed shall all the nations be blessed. Here he's saying, in you all the nations of the earth be blessed. So now look at this very well. He says, and the scripture foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel. So God was the first to preach the gospel. Who preached the gospel? To Abraham the first time. God did. He said, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying. And what was the gospel? In you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Kenneth Copeland said, the gospel is the blessing. This is where he got it from. The gospel that God preached to Abraham is the gospel of the blessing. Am I communicating? How Is God going to bless all the nations? It's through the seed of Abraham, and that seed is Christ. Am I communicating? So the next question is, when did God preach the gospel to Abraham? When did God preach the gospel to Abraham? Genesis chapter 15. Let's find out where God preached the gospel to Abraham for the first time. Genesis 15. Praise God. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Some translation, I think, is amplified that says, abundant compensation. If a translation says, I am your shield, I am your rapidly increasing money supply. God told Abraham, I am your rapidly increasing money supply. Say with me, God is my rapidly increasing money supply. I am your abundant compensation and your reward. If that word reward means salary. Praise God. As in salary. Glory to God. God is my salary. Next verse. Okay, just give me KJV. It says, and Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me? What? God spoke to him in a vision. He didn't see it. He didn't get it. He still saying, what will you give me? Seeing I go childless. He couldn't see what God is saying because he was seeing something God did not see. He was seeing childlessness. It matters what you see. That's why I say, son of man, what can you see? Abraham, God spoke to him in a vision, though. Instead of him to see, listen, go beyond what you are hearing to seeing what God is saying. It's one thing to hear, it's another thing to see what God is saying. The word of the Lord which Isaiah saw. Don't just hear it, see it. Can you see yourself blessed? Can you see yourself highly favored? Can you see yourself seated in position of honor? It matters how you see yourself. Praise God. He says, Lord, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? The steward of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. That's the most senior servant, okay, in charge of the house. Abraham was calculating in his head. All my will, I will just will everything I have to Eliezer. It will become my heir. Then verse 3, look at what God told him. And Abraham said, okay, Abraham is still speaking. Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is my heir. Heir means inheritor. Okay? The owner of the estate. Next verse. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir. That's Eleazar of Damascus is not going to be your heir. Glory to God. He said, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. Next verse. And he brought him forth. You see, God has been speaking. Abraham is not seeing what God is saying. God needed to change location. God needed to bring him outside the box. Glory to God. He says, he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. Glory to God. Tell the stars. If thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Verse 6. And he believed in the Lord. Abraham believed in the Lord. And he, the Lord, counted it to him, Abraham, for what? Righteousness. Now, go back to that verse 5. There's something I want to bring out there. When God brought him forth from abroad, okay? Give me this in amplified version. Praise God. Are you learning something? Are you enjoying this journey? We're on a ride, though. Children of the covenant. Mandoboroskataya.
And he brought him outside his tent into the starlight. Glory to God. I say glory to God. You know, exposure is good, though. Sometimes you need to come out of your tent. Come out of your box. God needs to unbox you sometimes. Glory to God. You need the right exposure. Sometimes you need to change environment. The Bible says God brought him outside his tent into. You know, there are some ideas that will come to you when you change environment. When you with the right exposure. Am I communicating? You'll be inspired. You'll be inspired. And inspiration is very important. Some things can only cross your mind when you are in some environment, the right place, at the right time. Glory to God. He brought him outside his tent into the starlight and said, look now toward the heavens and count the stars. If you are able to number them, then he said to him, so shall thy descendant be. Can you shout amen? Amen. Now go to King James Version. King James Version. Are you there? Now I want to bring out a particular interesting word. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. He said, tell the star. Now that word tell is an interesting word in the Hebrew. It's the Hebrew word safar. Safar means to count. It means to recount. It means to relate. Am I communicating? Now, most times we read this scripture and the literal interpretation we give to it is that Abraham started counting the stars until he could not count again. Or maybe all the stars, suddenly he saw the faces of his children. He saw Isaac, he saw Jacob, he saw, say, Papa Abraham. But there is a deeper meaning here that I want you to understand, okay? Because this is actually where God preached the gospel to Abraham. Just follow me carefully. Now, that word tell, safar in Hebrew, it actually means to recount. To relate. So actually God was trying to tell Abraham that can you recount the story of the stars? That's the constellation. You know, the Bible says even the universe, okay, retains the knowledge of God. Am I communicating? God has even put the story of the gospel in the constellation even before Jesus came. Are you listening? So God was actually telling Abraham, can you tell the story of the stars? Can you recount the story of the stars? Because in that story is the story of the gospel. Listen, this thing they call zodiac, that in astrology and occultic people manipulate star bodies and all of that, it is actually the authentic story of the stars that is in the corrupted zodiac. God said the story of the gospel is in the constellation. He said, can you recount? You remember Abraham is coming from where? Where is his hometown? The all of what? Chaldeans, Mesopotamia. These are stargazers. The people there, they worship moon. The people there, they know the story of the star. Am I communicating? Abraham is acquainted with the story of the star. God was telling him, can you tell the story? Can you recount the story? Eh? Can you remember Virgil? You've heard of Virgil in Zodiac. They talk of Virgil. V I R-O. Virtue. It begins with this. That's, this virtue is a virgin shall conceive supernaturally. And who is that virgin? Virgin Mary. And then that son that she will give birth to, which is Jesus, is going to be the lamp of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Am I communicating? There is a star called virtue. Okay? It represents the Virgin Mary that we what? Conceive and give birth to Jesus. And you know about the story of the Immaculate Conception of Jesus Christ. Then he's going to die as the lamp of God, the lamb without blemish, as the sin substitute, as the sickness substitute. Am I communicating? As our substitutionary sacrifice, it will bear the sins of the world. A virgin will conceive. He will die. He will be buried. On the third day, he will arise. The story did not end with him just dying. The story did not end with him being buried. On the third day, he will arise as what? A lamb? No, as who? A lion. Leo. Am I communicating? Leo. That's the name of another constellation. Leo. All these things are in the zodiac. Leo. Leo stands for lion. Though he will die as a lamb, but he will arise as a triumphant, victorious, indomitable, invincible lion. The lion of what? The tribe of Judah that has prevailed. Remember, it says, weep not in Revelation 5 when John saw that vision. He said, weep not. He said, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to take the book and what? Open the seal. Glory to God. And that's the destiny of the human race that has been unsealed. Glory to God. He saw the lamb. Initially, it was a lamb that was slain. He needed to die. Am I communicating? Before he arose as a victorious general. That was when God preached the gospel to Abraham, using the story of the stars to explain the story of the gospel long before Jesus came. Because he knew that Abraham knew about the stars and constellation. God will always speak to people in languages they can understand. So God has put the story of the gospel in the star, in the constellation. Forget this corrupted version that you see in the zodiac. What is your birthday? Okay, let's check the kind of wife that will fit you. Some of you have gone to do horoscope. May God deliver you. If you don't stop, one day you will pull your this thing. They will tell you, remaining 3 days, 2 minutes to die. You better stop those things. Praise God. I say praise God. I say praise God. So this was what God was telling Abraham. This was when he preached the gospel, using the story of the stars to Abraham for the first time. And this was what Abraham saw. That the Bible says, next verse, and Abraham believed God. Can you shout amen? Amen? And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Can you remember when Jesus, I think it's John chapter 5, Jesus told the Jews, he told them that, he said, before Abraham was, I am, and they carried stone. Can you remember? He didn't say before, now is that good English? Before, okay, analyze the English. Before Abraham was, I am. Is it not supposed to be before Abraham was, I? It should be in past tense. But it didn't say before Abraham was, I was.
He said, before Abraham was, I am. And the Jews understand that word, I am, is one of the names of God. Oh, he said, this man is claiming deity. I mean, bring that big stone. You understand? They carry stone. It's blasphemy. It's a blasphemous statement. He said, who do you think you are? This is the Joseph Pekin. We make our furniture. They carry stone because he's claiming deity. It's like blasphemy. He said, you being a man is making yourself equal to God. Jesus told them, calm down. Farabale. Farabale. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. What? They say, what? You are not over up to 50 years. No, Jesus was 33. You understand? He said, you are not even up to 50 years and you say, hey, Abraham saw your day. Oh boy, when we tell Una, say, this guy, they mix Goskolo and something, take Una, no belief. See him? He's mad. Are you getting me? He said, you are not even up to 50 years and you are saying, Abraham, rejoice to see your day. Was Jesus lying? So what did he mean when he said, Abraham, rejoice to see my day? When did Abraham saw Jesus' day? It's in this story that I'm trying to explain. It's in this story. When God preached the gospel to Abraham, when he saw how Jesus will be born, how Jesus will die, will pay the price, he saw Abraham saw all those things like a movie. God explained it to them, and he saw how Jesus will conquer Satan, conquer sin, arise as a victorious general and arise like a lion. Abraham believed the gospel. That was what Jesus meant when he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. But the people of his time, they didn't understand him. That was why they wanted to stone him. That's why the Bible says, with all thy getting, get what? Understanding. Because Abraham actually saw Jesus' day. Long before Jesus came, he saw it in the story of the star. Am I communicating? Kabalatosa balatana. He said, Abraham rejoiced. He was happy. Hey! Well, he saw how Jesus gave uppercut to those demons, to Satan in hell. He put off from himself. Abraham was watching the old drama. Am I communicating? And he was glad. When he saw how Jesus conquered death, conquered sin, conquered Satan, conquered hell, conquered the grave, and arose. Am I communicating? He rejoiced. Let's go down. Go back to that word reading, Genesis 15. Now let's look at the Abrahamic covenant now. The Abrahamic covenant. And he said unto him, I'm the Lord that brought thee out of the all of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. So part of the blessings of that covenant is that Abraham will have land. Am I communicating? You must get your land. You are a seed of Abraham. You own this world though. Am I communicating? It says, I will give thee this land. That's why all those people fighting even the natural seed, that's Israel. Fighting Israel. Saying that they should vacate their land. It will not work. Oh. God gave them that land by covenant. Praise God. It will not work. There was a time, seven Arab nations ganged up against Israel. Israel defeated them. How can you expect one small country like that? Is the power of the covenant. Praise God. I hear recently, is it Iran that fired they say lion they sleep, antelope go wake up. Fire their strike. They go soon hear from Israel. Now, it says next verse, the kind of nuclear missile Israel has. And he said, and by the way, hope you know, Israel is number one in terms of military intelligence in the world. They are number one. In terms of military intelligence, these are the natural seed of Abraham. These people are blessed. You can count with your finger how many times rain falls in Israel. Yet,
They are, look at the kind of agricultural produce. How else can you explain it? If not the power of the blessing. Even their own mango. Have you seen the mango, the distinct fruit they bring from Israel? Compare them to Nigeria own. Then you go, no, say the blessing, no be your mate. You understand? Very big like that. And yet they don't have much rainfall. It's a desert. And yet they export food. They export food. Agricultural mechanized farming. The blessing gave them wisdom. The blessing gave them favor. Am I communicating? The blessing brings prosperity. And if this is true of the natural seed, how much more you, the spiritual seed? Think of it. He said, Abraham wanted to know. He said, whereby shall I know I shall inherit it? As the land of Canaan. Next verse. What we call the promised land. And he said unto him, take me now. If you are sleeping, wake up. This is where the covenant was caught. He said, take me an ephah of 3 years old and a she-goat of 3 years old. Sacrifice. Animal sacrifice. And a ram of 3 years old. All of them are three. Notice they are all 3 years old. All these numbers have prophetic implication. Oh, they have prophetic meaning. And a turtle dove and a young pigeon. Next verse. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst. Now look up, look up, look up. This is how they cut covenant in biblical days. The Hebrew word translated covenant, berit, it means to cut or to divide. Am I communicating? To cut in blood. There is no covenant without sacrifice. Somehow, there must be a blood sacrifice. There must be a cutting. Am I communicating? Literally, to make covenant means to cut covenant. And somebody must die. They will cut it into two. You know, that was what God told. Now, follow me carefully. He said he should divide those animals into two. Now, this is what they do. Now, I need two people to come. Maybe Steadfast and this thing, come. Now, watch this. Watch this. If two people are cutting covenant, this is how it works. They stand here like this. Stand here, sir. Good. Face each other. Stand there. Now, they cut those animals. Give me those animals now that he divided. Pigeon, which one again? Help me with them. Birds, okay. Ephah, she goat, ram, turtle dove, young pigeon, verse 10. He cut them into two. He divided them. Then put them in between like this. He put them. And then their blood will be flowing in the middle like this. Okay? Half part is here, the other part is here. Half part is here, the other part. Their blood forms a trench like this. Then these two people will now be walking towards each other. Inside the blood of those animals, they will now be declaring the words of those covenants, the terms. That, are you getting me? And their commitment to each other. That if I break this covenant, my life will be like these animals. You understand? That is how serious it is. Now, stand like that. Next verse. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abraham drove them away. Next verse, 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. Now, follow me carefully. A deep what? Sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, a horror of darkness fell upon him. Next verse. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety, this is God speaking, that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. That's the land of Egypt, their captivity in Egypt. He said they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them. How many years? 400 years. So God gave to Abraham a prophetic word concerning his natural seed, Israel. Next verse. He said, and Also, that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. Didn't God judge Egypt? And afterward, they shall come out with great substance. Didn't they come out with great substance? God gave them favor, they spoiled the Egyptian. Next verse. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and shall be buried in good old age. Next verse. But in the fourth generation, they shall come Hittite again, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. Next verse. And it came to pass, now watch this. Watch this. It came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace, my God. A smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those two pieces. What passed through those two pieces? A smoking furnace and a burning lamp. Let me ask you a question. Where is Abraham at this point? Where is Abraham? Eh? He was sleeping. Remember, we read earlier that Abraham what? He slept off. Ayagabalakatai. This smoking furnace is a picture. It's a symbol. It represents God's presence. And a burning lamp. Remember Jesus in the Bible? When John the Apostle saw him in Revelation, he said he saw what? Burning lamp. Am I communicating? Now, watch this. Watch this. It will even shock you that this Abrahamic covenant was actually between God and Jesus. The power of God knocked Abraham off. He was sleeping. So Jesus and God were moving together like this. And they were swearing. Am I communicating? A what? Smoking furnace. A burning lamp. God the Father and God the Son entered into this covenant on behalf of Abraham. Because God knew that if it is man that is involved, it is subject to failure. Man will not be able to keep those terms of the covenant. And for you to break the covenant, your life will end up like those animals. It's death. The penalty is death. Am I communicating? And God in his love knows that man will not be able to keep the terms of the covenant. So God needed to come in form of a man called Jesus. And then two of them, Papa God and Jesus, entered into that covenant. And Jesus stood in blood and swore that in blessing I will bless you, in multiplying I will multiply you. And Jesus perfectly met all the requirement, all the condition, all the obligation of the covenant. And guess what? Who is the beneficiary? Abraham and his seed. Can you celebrate Jesus? You can go and go back. Go back and sit down. I needed you to understand the transaction that took place there. So the Abrahamic covenant is actually a covenant of grace. This happened 400 years plus before the law of Moses came. Am I communicating? It's a covenant of favor. It's a covenant of grace. It's a covenant of mercy. It's a covenant of kindness. Am I communicating? God and Jesus entered that covenant on your behalf. You see why it cannot fail. And he said, we are the children of that covenant. We are both the byproduct and the beneficiary. And Jesus himself is the surety of the new covenant, which is established upon what? Better promises. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Malabaya gabalakataya. Engroskatia. Pray in tongues for 1 minute. Let this thing enter very well. Let it enter. Let it enter. Let it enter. Shabalatuza, Brandekepo, Ramantiska, Branteke Palatiza, Radesco Fretila, Bontekepa. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Let me do a little definition of terms. What is a covenant? A covenant is a blood sworn sacred agreement. A covenant is a blood sworn sacred agreement or oath. A covenant is a blood sworn oath or sacred agreement between two or more parties, based upon clearly defined terms and conditions. Am I communicating? I'll take it again. A covenant is a blood sworn oath or sacred agreement between two or more parties or partners, based upon clearly defined terms and conditions. That word covenant literally means pact or treaty or will. A pact, a treaty, a will. Okay? If you check the dictionary meaning, Oxford Dictionary and all of that, of the meaning of covenant, they will not give you the real meaning in Bible days. You will see them use word like contract. But a covenant is greater than a contract. I say a covenant is greater than a contract. A lawyer can dissolve a contract, but a covenant can only be dissolved by death. Am I communicating? So it's superior, is stronger and superior to a contract. So a covenant is an oath-bound relationship. You know, there are different kinds of relationship. A covenant is an oath-bound relationship. Okay? An oath bound relationship. An oath bound relationship between God and man, that's a divine one, or between man and man, that's a human covenant. So we have divine covenants. What are divine covenants? Between what? God and man. An oath bound relationship between God and man is a divine covenant. Then human covenant is what? A covenant between a human being and another human being. Am I communicating? Don't human beings go into covenants? They do. You can also have such oath bound relationship between kings of nations, what we call political covenant. That's between nation and nation. Okay, one nation can go into covenant with another nation to always join them whenever their enemy attacks them, you know, for protection, to increase their military might and all of that. So I just mentioned three types of covenant. I mentioned divine covenants, and we say covenants are oath-bound relationships. Okay, divine covenant is between what? God and man. Okay, hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Between God and man. Next is what? Covenant between fellow human beings. Human covenant, right? Man and man. You know, David and Jonathan is a good example. David and Jonathan were covenant friends. You know, there are some friends that are like covenant friendship. Okay, another example of such covenant is marriage. Even though marriage, God is a third party. So I won't totally call it just a woman covenant, because there is somebody else involved. Is like the witness. Marriage is a covenant, not a contract. Am I communicating? I say marriage is a covenant, not a contract. Praise God. I say praise God. So you can have covenant between God and man, covenant between human being and human being, covenant between nations. Kings of nations can go into covenant to help and support each other. They can form alliances. We call them political covenants. Glory to God. I say glory to God. When one nation is going to war, by implication, any other nation that is in covenant with that nation have to join them to go for that war. Because your enemy becomes my enemy. It's like that in a covenant. Okay? Let's say Nigeria and Cameroon. Let's say these two nations are in a political covenant. And then let's say a nation... A nation rises up against Nigeria. Nigeria is going to battle against that nation. Do you know Cameroon, based on that covenant with Nigeria, they have to join and marshal their forces and join us. It's called political covenant. Glory to God. Now, also understand that the agreement in a covenant is binding between both parties or partners. Okay, it's a binding agreement with promises or benefits on one side, then obligations or responsibilities on the other side. Okay, so there are promises and benefits, then there are also obligations and responsibilities attached. And it is sealed with a blood sworn oath. Glory to God. Now, every covenant has four elements. Write this down. Every covenant has these four elements. Every covenant has these four elements. Number one, there are promises. There are promises. The Abrahamic covenant, God said, I will bless you, I will make you a blessing. In you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. There are promises. Number two, the second element every covenant has is what we call terms and conditions. Terms and conditions, what we call covenant obligations. You can put covenant obligations in brackets. Terms and conditions. That's the second element containing every covenant. Number three, there is blood. Blood. Blood is involved. Blood sacrifice. Blood shed. There is no covenant without the shedding of blood. Praise God. There is always a form of blood sacrifice in every true covenant. Then the fourth one, a seal. There is usually a seal. What is a seal of the Abrahamic covenant? Circumcision. In Genesis 17, God told Abraham they should circumcise all their male children. So circumcision was the seal. The Noahic covenant, God's covenant with Noah. What was the seal? Rainbow in the sky. Anytime, no matter how it falls, cat and dog, gorilla and what? Chimpanzee. The moment God sees that rainbow, he will remember his covenant with Noah. Praise God. That he will no longer destroy the earth by what? Flood. Glory to God. So every covenant has a seal. Now, write this down. Five important things to know about covenants. Five important things to know about covenants. There are five important things you must know about covenants. Number one, the parties involved become one inseparable entity. The parties involved in a covenant become one inseparable entity. So through covenant, they come into oneness. Glory to God. Oneness. They become one inseparable entity. Number two, the covenant comes with what? Rights and responsibilities. Every covenant comes with rights and responsibility. The rights there is talking of the benefits, the promises. The responsibility is talking of the obligations, the covenant obligations. Your own part that you must play. The stipulations. So covenant comes with rights and responsibilities. Number three, covenants extend to families and bloodlines. Covenant extends to what? Families and what? Bloodlines. Glory to God. I say glory to God. I say glory to God. Number four, covenant require witnesses. Covenant require what? Witnesses. They are witnesses. Number five, covenants can only be dissolved by death. Covenants can only be dissolved by what? By death. Glory to God. The Bible is a book of covenants. In fact, there are like seven, some people say eight, there are like at least seven biblical covenants in the Bible, in scriptures. Can somebody help me clean the board? There are about seven covenants in the Bible. The Bible is a book of covenants. God's relationships and dealings with his people are based on his covenant with them. That's covenantal relationship, not contractual or sentimental relationship, okay? Covenants define obligations and commitments. Some covenants are dispensational, as we will see, while some are everlasting, okay? Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of all covenants in the Bible. Jesus is a covenantal climax. He is the surety or guarantor. He is the surety or guarantor and the mediator of the new and better covenant. Glory to God. You see that in Hebrews 7:22, Hebrews 9:15. Because of his finished works, because of the finished works of Christ, people from every nation, every tribe and tongue who trust Jesus can become a part of God's family. Hallelujah. You know, I've taught you before, God's division of the human race is into three categories. Three categories. God's division is not Caucasian, Negro, Mongoloid race. God's division of the human race is into three. Give me 1 Corinthians 10:32. And it is based on covenant. It is based on covenant. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 10:32. Watch this. This is God's division of the human race. And it's based on his covenants. Now, he said, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Three categories. Number one, Jews. To the Jews, he gave what? The Abrahamic covenant and the Mosaic covenant. Glory to God. I say glory to God. Number two, what? Gentiles. Which covenant did he give to Gentiles? None. Zero. They are a people without covenant. Glory to God. Now, the Gentiles are the unsaved non-Jewish world. The unsaved non-Jewish people are the Gentiles. The unsaved non-Jewish nations. Then, number three, what's the third category? The Church of God. The new what? Covenant. To whom he gave the what? New covenant. In the blood of Jesus. Can you see that to the Jews he gave the first covenant? To the Gentiles he gave zero covenant. To the church he gave what? The new covenant. This is God's ethnic division of the human race. So you are either a Jew, or you are a Gentile, or you are a what? A part of the church. All those that are born again, they are members of the body of Christ. They are part of the church. And throughout the Bible, God's dealings with these three categories of people are unique and different. And anytime you read your Bible, everything God is saying, is saying to these three categories of people. Am I communicating? It's very important. So you see, God's dealings are based on his covenant. Now let's look at seven biblical covenants. Are you ready for this? Number one, seven biblical covenants. Very fast. Seven covenants in the Bible. See, the Bible is a book of covenants. God himself is a covenant keeping God. He's forever faithful. Number one, what they call the Edenic covenant. The Edenic covenant, that's a covenant in the Garden of Eden. It's about rulership, dominion. God created man in his image and likeness, and he said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. Glory to God. Dominion, rulership. Let them be in charge of the earth. Let man, Adam, govern the earth realm for God. But what was the condition? It was a conditional covenant. There were conditions attached. God said, God put Adam in the garden to keep it and dress it. Then God gave an instruction. He said, of all trees in the garden, you can freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not what? Eat it. He said, don't eat it. The day you eat it, you shall surely die. But that one was broken by man, right? Man did not keep to the terms, and God had to drive them out. Glory to God. Number two, Bible scholars call it the Adamic covenant. Can you remember after Adam, the Adamic covenant? After Adam sinned against God by committing high treason, him and his wife, praise God, they ate the forbidden, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of which God said they should not eat. Satan deceived Eve. But Adam willingly, knowingly violated God's command, committed high treason. Praise God. You know, Adam was not deceived. It was Eve that was deceived. Adam's offense was more grievous than even Eve. You know, there are people that like blaming women. See, you see, now them cause problem. Now them bring problem. If Eve no chop that fruit now, over, no, they suffer like this. Calm down. Adam's soul was worse. He was not deceived. The Bible says he was not deceived. He knew what he was doing. He willingly, knowingly, of his own volition, rebelled against God's authority. That's why it's called high treason. And it's punishable by death. Praise God. And God had said that the day you eat, you shall surely die. So he died spiritually first. Then 932 years later, physical death caught up with him. How long did Adam live? Is it 934? Bible scholars. 930. It took 930 years for physical death to catch up with the spiritual death that took place. You know, spiritual death is the mother of physical death, okay? So, and prophetically speaking, Adam died physically in addition to spiritually, because a day is like 1,000 years, right? And 930 is not up to 1,000. So that means, prophetically speaking, he died that same day. He didn't reach one day. Well, actually, when God say, in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die, in the Hebrew is a play of word. He said, in dying, thou shalt die. That is how it is. Talking of two kinds of death. Spiritual death first, that will lead to physical death. In dying, dost thou die. Thou dost die. It's a play of words. Praise God. So, now, after Adam committed high treason, they went and hid. They realized their eyes were open. They realized they were naked. And then they plucked fig leaves and covered themselves and went and hid. Then the voice of God came talking. He said, Adam, where are you there? He said, I heard your voice and I hid myself because I was naked. Fear came in. There was no fear before the fall. God said, who told you that you are naked? Have you eaten of the fruit I said you shouldn't eat? Instead of accepting responsibility, he said, the wife you gave me, the woman, you see, human beings, this blame game, they started playing it longest time. Man has even blamed God. Some of you are complaining that people are always blaming you. Man blamed God. Adam was the first to blame God. Say, the woman you gave me. But when he saw the woman, he fell in love. Oh. Say, what? This is the bone of my bone. You understand? He tripped. But now, Kasala don boss, they look for who to blame. Say, the woman you gave me. Am I coming? You need to understand human nature. Praise God. They like to look for who to blame. God came to the woman. The woman said, it was a serpent that what? Deceived me. God came to serpent. Serpent no get anybody to blame. He accepted responsibility. Praise God. And that was how the authority was transferred like that. Fiao. It landed upon the head of Satan. The Adamic authority and dominion over the earth realm. Praise God. But I love God. See, God is a merciful God. Do you know the Bible said God, out of love, after announcing the consequences of their action to them, okay? God did not curse man. Oh, go and read very well. God only cursed the ground. He told Adam, he says, because you have done this, he said, cursed is the ground. Read it very well. He didn't curse man. You know, some people say after man fell, God cursed him. No. He said the ground is cursed because of you. He said it will bring forth thorns and thistles. In the sweat of it you will feed. Why couldn't God curse man even after the fall? Because he had already released the blessing on man. And you understand? You cannot be blessed and be cursed at the same time. The two are what? Diametrically opposed. They are mutually exclusive. Am I communicating? It's too late to be cursed. Because you are blessed. You are blessed. Say, there is no enchantment against Jacob. No divination against his. Anybody that is trying to curse you, the person came late. The person is 2,000 years late. Because 2,000 years ago, there was a transaction. Jesus took away all the curses. He said, Christ, give me Galatians 3:13. Let me show you something. Manda Bosca Palatiza. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Be made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hanged on a tree. So Jesus hanging on that tree, and the cross was made from the tree. Jesus hanging on the tree, all our curses, generational curses, ancestral curses, curses of your father house, curses of your mother house, curses of your village, all the curses. Jesus, curse of the firstborn, curse of this one, all of that, Jesus carried it. Am I communicating? He absorbed all our curses. All. He didn't leave anyone. All. To what end? Look at it. You know, the cross is a place of transaction. There was a great transaction there. There was an exchange. He took our curses. And look at what he gave us. Verse 14. He said that the blessing. Am I communicating? That the blessing. So he on the cross, Jesus exchanged our curses for the blessing. That the blessing of Abraham, that supernatural empowerment to prosper, to flourish, to excel. Am I communicating? He says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. How? Through Jesus Christ. The question is, are you in Christ? That means you are blessed. That we might receive. Listen, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Can you shout amen? It's too late to be cursed. People talk about generational curses. Let's talk about generational blessing. Something is on you. Something generational. It is not generational curse. It's generational blessing. That is pursuing you. That is following you. Am I communicating? No wonder he says, surely goodness and mercy. Why? Because of the generational blessing. You know, when generational curse is at work, there are demons of poverty, demons of sickness, demons of stagnation that pursue people because of that generational curse. For our own, it's generational blessing. And there are angels to enforce that blessing. The angels of the blessing. Just like the Bible says, and Jacob journeyed, and angels met him. Why? Because it was a carrier of the blessing of Abraham. Because of the blessing covenant, there are angels that enforce it. Am I communicating? You remember when Jacob was blessing Ephraim and Manasseh? He says, the God that sustained me, the angel. Am I communicating? Polatakabaya. The angels of the Abrahamic covenant. Surely goodness. David knew them all. One of them named na goodness. Another one. Eh? You say you had a dream. Two people were pursuing you. Did you wait to ask their name? Did you find out? Not the village people. Now goodness and what mercy. Welcome them now and favor. Are you getting me? They are in all pursuit of me. All the days of my life. Because I am blessed. He said, I have received a commandment to bless. And he cannot reverse it. One of the characteristics of the blessing is that it is irreversible. You are too blessed to be cursed. You are too blessed to be small. God stood in blood and proclaimed that in blessing I will bless you. In multiplying I will multiply you. Your seed will possess the gate of our enemies. Munda barakatiza. Let me wrap this up. When Adam and Eve sinned, they made something to cover up their sin. Sealed fig. But God in his love went and killed an animal and carried the skin and made what? Cloth to cover them. That was a type and a shadow, prophetic picture of how Jesus, the Lamb of God, we shed his blood for our redemption. That's the Adamic covenant, which points to what? The coming Messiah, how he will die as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Then we have the Noahic covenant, God's covenant with Noah. The Noahic covenant. You remember after the flood that flooded the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, Noah came out and the Bible says he took of every clean animal, every clean bird, and then he what? Offered it as a sacrifice to God. Okay? And then God smelled a sweet savour. Genesis 20:22. God then said, as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease, right? And then God now, in Genesis 9, God now gave to Noah a sign, a token, a seal of that covenant, which is the rainbow. He said, God swore that it will no longer flood the earth again, no matter how the wickedness of man is upon the face of the earth. Praise God. Then we have the Abrahamic covenant, of which we've looked at it. Praise God. The Abrahamic covenant. Then we have number 5, the Davidic covenant. Praise God. Before the Davidic, Mosaic covenant. There is a Mosaic covenant, what we popularly call the Old Testament. Eh? What's the popular name of the Mosaic covenant? The Mosaic covenant. You remember Sinai? At Sinai, blood of bulls that Moses killed those animals and sprinkled the blood on the children of Israel. He said, today, with this blood, God have enjoined you to himself. And he started pronouncing all the blessings that will come upon them if they obey the terms of the covenant. And all the curses that will come on them if they disobey. If you read Deuteronomy 32, it shows you the blessings of obedience and the curses attached to disobedience. It's talking about the Mosaic covenant. Am I communicating? At Sinai, popularly called Old Testament. Glory to God. Then we have the Davidic covenant, covenant with David, in which God swore that of his seed, that David will not lack an heir to the throne, that is going to raise from his seed one that is going to rule forever. Am I communicating? So it's about kingship, it's about ruling and reigning. And actually, if you study the Bible very well, Jesus is referred to as what? The son of David. And Jesus is also called the seed of Abraham. Two very key figures there. Praise God. Then the last one, which is a new covenant. Praise God. Now, this new covenant in the blood of Jesus is actually the culmination of all the first six covenants. Glory to God. The new covenant in Christ gives us redemption, the new birth, gives us God's grace. Is a covenant of grace, actually. The new covenant is a covenant of grace. Untold blessings, favor, mercy, loving kindness, honor, riches, all of that is what we get in the new covenant, in which Jesus caught with his own blood. And listen, all the previous covenants from number 1 to number 6, all the previous covenants of promise were fully and finally fulfilled in Christ. Can you shout amen? They were all fully and finally fulfilled in Christ. The new covenant is the climax of all of God's covenants with his people. Is a culmination of all the other covenants. Glory to God. Jeremiah prophesied about the new covenant. Give me Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 33. Look at the prophecy of Jeremiah concerning the new covenant. It says, but this shall be the covenant. This is God speaking. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Can you shout amen? Amen. Ezekiel also prophesied about the new covenant. Ezekiel 36:26 and 27. Let's see the prophecy of Ezekiel concerning the new covenant. He said, a new heart also will I give you. Can you shout amen? Amen. God is speaking here. He said, a new heart will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. He's talking of your recreated, born again human spirit. A new heart and a new spirit. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of what? Can you shout it? I will give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27. It says, and I will put my spirit. This is talking of the Holy Spirit now. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall what? Keep my judgment and do them. Can you shout amen? you will not struggle to do the word. You will not struggle to do those things. He said you shall do them. Because that new creation in Christ, inside that new creation is that ability to do the word. Glory to God. So it's not a struggle. Now give me Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8.
Verse 10.
Hebrews 8:10. It says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to what? The greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness." I will be merciful to... Listen. The God of the Old Testament is still the same God of the New Testament. But his dealings with us in the New Testament has changed because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Because that, you know, is like a new regime. Okay, let me ask you a question. Can you remember when Buhari, retired General Muhtar Muhammad Buhari, can you remember when he ruled as a head of state, military head of state? Can you remember when he was president? Military president, too. 1980, what? Some of you, they never born now. See their eyes. Now, still the heaven. You were not born then. He ruled this country as president, as military head of state, right? Then, several years later, he also ruled as what? Civilian president. Let me ask you a question. Is it the same Buhari? But the way he ruled as civilian president, is it the same way he ruled as military president? Am I communicating? The regime is not the same, even though he's the same person. Okay, maybe Buhari is too high a matter. Let me use OBJ, Obasanjo. Did Obasanjo rule as a military president? Yes. Did he rule as a civilian president? Yes. Is it the same person? Yes. But is regime vis-a-vis civilian military, is it the same? No, it changed. It's the same thing. The God of the Old Testament is still the God of the New Testament, but his dealings with us has changed. Why? Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, because of his redemptive work on the cross. That's why he said, I will be merciful to the unrighteous. You can't try this under the Old Testament, too. You go carry goat and bulls. Am I communicating? God said, because of the blood of Jesus, the blood of the eternal covenant, everlasting covenant, I will be merciful. This is the basis for the mercy. Because of his blood that was shed, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, their sins and their iniquity will I remember no more. Next verse. In that he said, a new covenant, he had made the first old. Which one is the first? He's talking of the Mosaic covenant. Glory to God. Now that which decayed and waxed old is ready to what? Vanish away. Can you shout amen? Are you getting this? Then that same Hebrews chapter 10. That same Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart. He's talking of the new covenant. and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Now, where the remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. Hallelujah. Then verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into what? The holiest, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and what? Living way, which he had what? Consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. Can you shout amen? So his blood has given us access. Mandabaka sovreketia. He ratified the new covenant with his own blood. You remember, before Jesus went to the cross, during the supper, after the supper, the Bible says he gave them the wine. He said, drink of it. He said, drink everything. This is my blood of the New Testament, which was what? Shed for you. He gave them the bread. He said, this is my body that was broken for you. Do you know every time we take the communion, it is what? New covenant renewal. We are renewing the covenant in his blood and activating the blessing. No wonder he said, do this in remembrance of me. In the witchcraft coven, they drink blood, they eat human flesh. In the occult, they eat human sacrifice, drink human blood, and they have confidence that they have power. They have confidence that bombs and bullets will not enter them. We too, with the drink blood. Communion is blood drinking service. If they have enough faith in human sacrifice, how much more you in the blood of Jesus? Glory to God. Monde ke barakatia. And we are the results and beneficiaries of that new covenant. That's why we are called what? Children of what? The new covenant. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2. We are the results and beneficiary for all the blessings of that new covenant. Ephesians 2:11. It says, wherefore, okay, give me New King James Version to make it better. New King James Version. It says, therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. The next verse. It says that at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from what? The commonwealth of Israel. Why were they aliens from the commonwealth of Israel? Because they did not have any covenant with God as Gentiles. Because they were Gentiles. He said, and they were strangers from what? The covenants of promise. The covenant there, is it singular? Plural. That's what there is, more than one, right? It says, having no hope and without God in this world. Oh, what a pathetic condition. Verse 13. But now, somebody say, but now. Here's the good news. In Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near. How? By the blood of Christ. Next verse. That's the blood of the everlasting covenant. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation or partition. Praise God. Next verse. He said, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that's the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two. That's from the Jews and from the Gentiles. God created one new man. That's the new creation in Christ. Thus making peace. Glory to God. So no more enmity. Next verse. It says, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Next verse. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. Next verse. And for through him we what? Both have access by the Spirit to the Father. Verse 19. Somebody shout it now. Say it boldly now. He said, now therefore you are no longer strangers. Paul talking to the believers, the believers in the church in Ephesus. He said, you are no more strangers. Before you got born again, you were strangers as Gentiles. But now that you are in Christ, he said, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. Somebody say fellow citizens. With the saints and members of the household of God. Can you shout amen? So, in Christ, you are a partaker of the commonwealth of Israel, commonwealth of Zion. And the principle of that commonwealth is that the wealth is common to all. I said the wealth is common to all. The wealth of his grace, the wealth of favor, the wealth of blessings, the wealth of mercy. Commonwealth. Because you are a bona fide citizen. Mande kebo shaladia. We have been brought into the family of God because of his sacrifice. Genesis 17. I round up with this. Today we laid foundation. Next week, Sunday, we go deeper. Children of the covenant. It says, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou what? Perfect. Glory to God. Verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. Glory to God. Verse 3. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, verse 4, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Can you shout amen? Amen. Say, you shall be a father of many nations. Next verse. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. Abram means assumed or exalted father. Abraham means father of many nations. So God changed his name to reflect his new status. He said, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Glory to God. Verse 6. He says, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. Can you see something? So you can't be barren. Barrenness is anti-covenant. Shakabalakataya. Your business cannot be barren. Your body cannot be barren. Your academic cannot be barren. Your ministry cannot be barren. Your marriage cannot be barren. It's that we make you exceedingly fruitful. It is part of the blessing of the covenant. Boku boku. How do you say it? Let me tell you, neighbor. Fruitful in your local dialect. And I will make nations of thee. Hey, nations are coming out of me. I say nations are coming out of you. He said, I will make nations of thee. Ha, you are not small now. You are not. Look at it. Look at it. The spell of smallness has been totally eradicated, deleted from your life. He said, I will make nations to come out of you. No wonder I say you shall lend to many nations, but you will not borrow. There are some people rising from here. You will become economically bigger than nations. Just like Isaac, he became economically bigger than the nation of the Philistine. They had to come and beg him to leave their country. Then he was leaving. He said, I beg, Poshuam, I beg. Come and sign treaty. Let's sign agreement that you will do us no harm as we have done you no harm. He became afraid of him. He was bigger than a nation. Am I communicating? He said, I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. I say, kings will come out of your loins. Political kings, economic kings, media kings, captains of industry, kings in art and entertainment, educational kings, all manner of kings are coming out of you. Can you shout amen? Mandabaya Gabarataya. Verse 7. Rise to your feet. He said, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generation for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto them and to thy seed after thee. Now hold it here. Can you see that the Abrahamic covenant is an everlasting covenant? It's an everlasting covenant. It's not, you know, we said some covenants are dispensational. Some covenants are everlasting. Abrahamic covenant is an everlasting covenant. Am I communicating? In fact, the new covenant that was caught in the blood of Jesus is the final and full fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. Because both of them are a covenant of grace. Am I communicating? Shalabako sekete. He said, I will establish you between me and thee and thy seed. And that seed is Christ. And Christ equals Jesus plus the church. And that church is the body of Christ. And you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Are you seeing something? So it means, say, he's talking to me now. I want you to lift up your voice. I want you to lift up your voice. Shalabatosa. It's a covenant of greatness. It's a covenant of surpassing greatness. You are not permitted to die as a nonentity. You are not permitted to die small or remain small. He said, kings will come out of you. He said, nations will spring forth from you. He said, you will be exceedingly fruitful. He says, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Kalabakondo Braska Palatina. It's a covenant of greatness. And we are the result and beneficiary of that covenant. Kambarando Braska Tila Kapatai. By that covenant, we enjoy overwhelming favor, abundant favor. By that covenant, we enjoy overflowing grace. He said, they which receive overflowing grace and of the gift of righteousness, they shall reign in life. It's a covenant of mercy. Kando bronde kebalatia. By that covenant, you enjoy the forgiveness and remission of your sin. He said, their sin, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. And their sin and iniquity will I remember no more. The blood of Jesus is speaking better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Jesus, the blood of the everlasting covenant, is speaking peace, is speaking favor, is speaking prosperity, is speaking blessings, generational blessings, is speaking goodness, is speaking prosperity, is speaking divine healing, divine health, loving kindness. We are not slaves. We are children of the covenant. Mandabaka Sataya, greatness. Greatness is boldly written on our head. The blood of Jesus is speaking success, is speaking victory, is speaking greatness, speaking healing. Healing for your body. Divine health, divine strength. A life of glory. Because of this new covenant, we enjoy the overflowing grace of God. We live a life of glory. We live a life of dominion. A life of honor. No more
more shame, no more reproach. The blood of Jesus has wiped away my shame. The blood of Jesus has blotted out my disgrace. Mandabaka sataya. My days of shame are over. Instead of shame, I enjoy double honor. He said, surely the Lord God will help me. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know I shall not be put to shame. Kambalando bronde keparakatia. Malabakondo breketea. A covenant is different from a contract. Kapata balika bataya. I enjoy covenant blessings. Covenant favor. Covenant grace. Loving kindness. He said, enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stake, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate places to be inhabited. Isaiah 54 verse 4. He said, fear not. Isaiah 54 4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. Your days of shame are over. No more shame, no more reproach. The blood of Jesus has wiped away my shame. The blood of Jesus has wiped away my guilt. Has wiped away my disgrace. His grace has taken away my shame and disgrace. His grace, His blood has wiped away my reproach. I will not suffer disgrace. I will not suffer shame anymore. I will not be humiliated. I will not suffer reproach, because the blood of the everlasting covenant has wiped away all of them. His suffering has ushered me into the realm, a life of glory. His honor has swallowed up my shame. The honor of the Lord, procured by His blood, has swallowed up my shame. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. For thou shalt not be put to shame. Forget the shame of thy youth. Thou shalt remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. You will not suffer the reproach of widowhood anymore. For thy maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is His name. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall He be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in the spirit, a wife of youth, when thou was refused, saith the Lord. Look at verse 7. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. We are vessels of His mercy. He said, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith thy Redeemer. We enjoy everlasting kindness because of this new covenant in His blood. He said, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me. This is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn. God said, I have sworn that I will not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, said the Lord that hath mercy on thee. is a covenant of everlasting kindness. It's a covenant of everlasting peace. It's been enforced by the Prince of Peace himself. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Shalabakondo breketeya. He said, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundation with sapphires. I will make thy windows of agate, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all the borders pleasant stones. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace, the shalom of thy children. Great shall be the shalom, the wholeness, the wellness, the completeness, the welfare, the prosperity of thy children. Is there nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking? This covenant guarantees shalom, shalom, completeness, wholeness, wellness. It takes care of my welfare, takes care of your health, takes care of your finances. It's a covenant of prosperity. Kabateke barakatai. It's the righteousness. Shall thou be established? Thou shalt be far from oppression. No more oppression. This new covenant forbids satanic oppression. Oppression from the pit of hell, in form of sickness, in form of poverty, in form of lack. Every form of oppression leaves your life. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Ayayayayaya. For thou shalt not fear. No more fear. No more fear. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For thou shalt not fear. I'm from peril. Peril shall be far from you. Oppression shall be far from you. For it shall not come near thee. No evil shall befall thee. No plague shall come nigh your dwelling. You will not weep, you will not mourn. No more sorrow, no more pain. They shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee, they shall fall for thy sake, because of the covenant. It guarantees supernatural protection. It guarantees supernatural safety, supernatural security. You are defended by the glory of God. Every demonic gang up, every satanic gang up against your life, against your destiny, against your family, he said they shall fall for your sake. Ayayayayayayaya. Behold, I've created a smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I have created a waster to destroy. No weapon, whether man made or demon made, or made under the sea, or made in witchcraft coven, or made in the occult, on the land, in the sea, in the air, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. No weapon formed against you will succeed. And every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. We condemn every lying tongue. We condemn every demonic lying tongue. We condemn the scourge of the tongue. We condemn every enchantment nation. For it is written, there is no enchantment against Jacob, no divination against Israel, because we are blessed. We are blessed and cannot be cursed. We are blessed. We can't be enchanted against. Charms cycle at our feet. Because of the blood. Because of the everlasting covenant. The blood of the everlasting covenant. By the blood. By this blood of the everlasting covenant, we prosper supernaturally. We are making supernatural progress, divine acceleration. By the blood of the everlasting covenant, we are preserved. Our families are preserved. We enjoy the ministry of angels. Hondo balabakasaya. Ileborondo brekete. Ilayabakondo brekete. Because of the blood of the everlasting covenant, the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel, we enjoy the ministry of angels like never before. The angels of the new covenant, they minister for us. Zechariah 9 verse 11, it says, as for thee, Zechariah 9:11, as for thee also, I have sent thee forth out of the pit. I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein there is no water. There is deliverance for you by the everlasting blood. By this blood of the everlasting covenant, you are coming out of every pit. You are coming out of every pit. You are delivered from every oppression. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have set forth thy prisoners. You are coming out of every prison. You are coming out of every prison. The prison of sickness. The prison of poverty, lack and scarcity. The prison of oppression, captivity. The prison of limitation. By the blood of the everlasting covenant, the prison door is broken. Every chain is broken. You are coming out of every prison. Coming out of every pit wherein there is no water. Malababa Boshelekete. Mandabaka Sabalatia. Instead of shame, you are enjoying double honor. Kambaka Bala Subelete. Rondo Boko Sekete. The Lord is with you as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, your persecutors, they shall stumble. They shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed. Their everlasting confusion shall not be forgotten. The Lord is with you as a mighty, terrible one. The God of the covenant. The covenant-keeping God himself. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Manda balose beleteya. Shata kabaya ya ya. Irobonde kefreketena. Kalababore balatidi. Branda kabababosha. Begin to prophesy that the blood of Jesus is speaking better things. He's speaking better things. He's speaking favor. Begin to declare favor. Begin to declare grace upon grace. Begin to declare supernatural blessings. The rain of blessings. Showers of blessings. By the blood of the everlasting covenant. Supernatural provision. Supernatural prosperity. Wealth and riches. Covenant wealth. Covenant wealth. covenant wealth. Pata kabaya, they are coming to you. Alevo shilabatai. Divine wisdom. The mercy of God. Shadegebaya. Supernatural mercy. Unusual kindness. Ay, 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 ay. Hondo moromoko second. In the name of Jesus.
There is this story that clearly illustrates the new covenant. In 2 Samuel 9 verse 1, David said, "Is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness? For whose sake? For Jonathan's sake." And then they told him, one of the sons of Jonathan is still alive, but he is lame in his feet. And his name is called Ziba, for he was dwelling in Lodeba, right? And then David said, go and bring him. And look at what David said. He said, for the sake of Jonathan, my covenant friend, he said, from today, all your father's land, I'm giving it to you, Ziba. And then he said, Ziba's servant should farm the land with 70 children. They should farm the land and just bring the produce, give him the harvest. And then he now says, Ziba, you are going to eat with me on my table, the same royal table. Aya, somebody say, honor. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I thought Ziba has limitation. I thought he is lame. David said, you will eat bread with me. You will eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner with me. The same honor and dignity I enjoy, you too will enjoy. Why? Because of the covenant I have with Jonathan, your father. And mind you, Jonathan was dead at this point. He died with Saul on the battlefield because of Saul's sin. Jesus died because of our sin. Now what is this? These are prophetic parables. Jonathan is a type of Jesus who died for our sin, just like Jonathan died for the sin of Saul, his father. Now watch this. Then David is a type of God the Father. Then Ziba is a type of the church. The church has limitation. Am I coming? The church is not perfect. Remember, Ziba is lame. So despite our weaknesses, despite our frailties, despite our mistake and our limitation, God does not bless us because of us. He blesses us because of Christ. Just like David said, he says, is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness or favor? For whose sake? Is it for the sake of the person? You are not blessed because of you. You are blessed because of what Jesus has done. Are you seeing this? Your limitations notwithstanding, your mistakes and errors notwithstanding, that's why the blood of Jesus is there to clean up your mess. Am I communicating? So because of covenant, Ziba enjoyed. He enjoyed prosperity. He enjoyed honor. He enjoyed royalty. He enjoyed surplus supplies. He enjoyed abundance. He never lacked again one single day in his life because of the covenant his father had, Jonathan, with David. Now, here is the good news. Because of the covenant, the new covenant that Jesus entered with God the Father for your benefit, all those blessings are now yours. Eh? I say all those blessings are... Stop focusing on your errors, your mistake, your sin. Look at the sacrifice of Jesus. Focus on his blood. Focus on that new covenant. Am I communicating? Shatakabaya. Ele freke tole kida. No wonder he's preparing a table before you. In the presence of your enemy, just like he prepared before Ziba. He said, but the church is not perfect. Is that not why he gave the fivefold ministry gift for the perfecting of the saints? So that's to tell you, the saints are not perfect people. He said that he may wash the church by the washing of water by the blood, that the church will become without spot, without wrinkle. Am I communicating? That's why he gave us his word. And he sent fivefold ministers to minister the word. As you are here, it doesn't matter how you came. This word you are hearing is washing you, is washing, removing those blemishes, removing all those things. Say with me, in the name of Jesus, because of the blood covenant and the sacrifice of Jesus, I enjoy all the blessings and the benefits of the new covenant. I enjoy everlasting kindness. I enjoy everlasting favor. I enjoy grace heaped upon grace. I enjoy showers of abundant blessings. I enjoy increase on every side. I enjoy surplus supernatural supplies. I enjoy surplus prosperity. I enjoy divine health, divine strength, honor. Now open your mouth and begin to prophesy. We are blessed for Jesus' sake, because he was obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Jesus met all the requirement of the law. We enjoy covenant blessings for Jesus' sake, because of his blood sacrifice. Come on, professor. The blessings and benefits of the new covenant, begin to activate them. Begin to call them forth. Because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, I refuse to be a failure. His blood is speaking. Success. I refuse to be defeated. Every negative cycle of failure, defeat, stagnation, it is broken. I enjoy uncommon favor. I enjoy unusual kindness. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Right now, all eyes closed, all heads bowed. I want to give this opportunity and privilege to somebody here. You know, you don't have a relationship with God. You are tired of playing religion. You want to have a real relationship with Jesus. You want to accept the free gift of salvation that Jesus has offered. You want to receive the gift of eternal life. You want to be born again, or perhaps you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. All this sacrifice Jesus made for you, I'm giving you the opportunity now to accept the gift of salvation, so that all these blessings and benefits of the new covenant in his blood will become your inheritance, will become your portion. If you are here, you know you are the one I'm speaking to. I want you to surrender your life to Jesus. I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are right now. Lift up your right hand wherever you are right now. I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, my sister behind. God bless you. Now, I want you to take another step of faith. Can you come forward? Can you come forward?
This is the most important decision you can ever make. Can you take another step of faith? Come forward. This is the best decision you can ever make. Jesus died for you openly on the cross. He died a very shameful death to take away your shame and reproach. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me on earth before men, he said, on that day I will be ashamed of you in heaven before all the angels. Jesus died a very shameful death for you openly. You should never be ashamed of him.
Is there any other person joining them? Come to Jesus. Come and surrender your life to him right now.
Thank you, Father. Now the two of you in front, I want you to say this prayer after me. Believe it, mean it from the depth of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. You shed your blood for the forgiveness and remission of my sin. And on the third day, you were raised from the dead for my justification. I confess with my mouth that from this day henceforth, you are my Lord and you are my Savior. And I choose to serve you and I choose to live for you. I receive eternal life into my spirit. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Congratulations. You just made the most important decision.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Salon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.